Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With 6 hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us, and through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
Welcome all of you to this Mass. We begin the celebration always calling on the name of our God, that is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace, the peace, and the love of God be with all of you. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pause for just a few moments in silence. Let us turn our thoughts to God. And before we listen to His word, and before we approach the table to receive Jesus in Eucharist, we ask God to look upon us with patience, with mercy. For so often we hurt our God when we fail to see the face of Jesus in others. We ask for forgiveness I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask, Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Almighty and ever-living God, constantly accomplish the Paschal mystery within us, that those you were pleased to make new in holy baptism may under your protective care bear much fruit and come to the joys of life eternal. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. As the number of disciples continued to grow, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So the 12 called together the community of the disciples and said, "It is not right for us to neglect the word of God to serve at table. Brothers, select from among you 7 reputable men, filled with the Spirit and wisdom, whom we shall appoint to this task, whereas we shall devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." The proposal was acceptable to the whole community. So they chose Stephen, a man filled with faith and the Holy Spirit. Also, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them. The word of God continued to spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased greatly. Even a large group of priests were becoming obedient to the faith. The word of the Lord.
Let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. Ring out your joy to the Lord, O you just, for praise is fitting for the upright. Give thanks to the Lord upon the harp. With a 10-stringed lute, sing him songs. Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. For the word of the Lord is faithful, and all his works to be trusted. The Lord loves justice and right, and his merciful love fills the earth. Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. Yes, the Lord's eyes are on those who fear him, who hope in his merciful love, to rescue their souls from death, to keep him alive in famine. Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in
A reading from the first letter of St. Peter. Beloved, come to him, a living stone, rejected by human beings, but chosen and precious in the sight of God. And, like living stones, let yourself be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it says in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying a stone in Zion, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in it shall not be put to shame. Therefore, its value is for you who have faith, but for those without faith, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that will make people stumble, and a rock that will make them fall. They stumble by disobeying the word, as is their destiny. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own, so that you may announce the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. The word of the Lord.
Truth and the life, says the Lord. No one comes to the Father except through me. According to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for so long a time, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good morning. I want to wish all of our mothers a very, very happy and blessed day. And at the end of the liturgy today, Father Jose will have a special blessing for all of our mothers. What would we do without our mothers? God bless you all. Today we continue our Easter celebration and begin the fifth week of the Easter season. And our readings this week illustrate to us that we are in fact truly Easter people. In other words, we are resurrection people. But we also begin to witness the growth in this community of believers. You can almost sense a shift in the emphasis from the resurrection to the actual workings of the new organization of early Christians that we all call church. And you can see this especially in our first two readings. And as our Easter season progresses, our attention and focus begins to be drawn outward from the small early community to one of a more, I would say, universal understanding of Jesus' message. The first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, is often said to be the selection and the laying on of hands of the first deacons of the church, beginning with St. Stephen, who later becomes the first church martyr. And if you've ever been to a diaconate ordination, this is usually the second reading during the liturgy of the word. But I also think that this reading provides an interesting, and I'll use a big word here, ecclesiastical milestone in the growth and evolution of our church. And I say that because we can easily see that the Christian community is now kind of expanding the leadership structure by adding these kind of specialized ministers, if you will, to respond to the changing needs of the faithful. And we hear in Acts that seven reputable men filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom are chosen and prayed over by the apostles for this special church ministry, for diaconia, for service. The seven chosen would serve at table, and they would handle the administrative affairs of the, we heard, Hellenists. The Hellenists were the Greek-speaking Jews, and we heard that they were complaining that their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of goods and food. The imposition of hands by the apostles, I think, suggests a kind of passing of power to these seven chosen for service in God's holy church. But I think it should be noted that authority rested with the 12, yet the whole community's approval was sought. And so the community themselves actually chose the seven. And by being faithful to Christ and receptive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, this faith community of disciples in Jerusalem were able to find an equitable solution to their problem, an equitable solution that permitted them to achieve their main goal, and that main goal was the spreading of the good news of Jesus Christ. Our second reading, again, from the letter from St. Peter, again, I think, focuses on a more broad or universal outlook. Peter speaks to the Gentile Christians, okay? He's not speaking to the Jews. He's speaking to those non-Jewish people. Again, more universal. Peter speaks to the Gentile Christians about their identity. He speaks to them about their dignity of being a follower of Jesus Christ. And Peter encourages them to be mindful that their responsibility as, and I like the words used here, living stones. They're living stones with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone that forms a spiritual building. And he also reminds them that, and here he uses actually the book of Exodus, he reminds them that just as the Israelites were called to be holy, so too they are called to be holy. They're called to be holy by their baptism into Christ. And now they have also become God's chosen ones, just like the Israelites. And being God's chosen ones, now they are actual disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, disciples who would spread the gospel message of the risen Lord. So we look at the gospel. The gospel passage from St. John differs slightly because it's taken from Jesus's farewell discourse at the Last Supper, and it's done before these two readings ever take place, because it's done at the Last Supper, it's done before his passion, death, and resurrection, and so it happens before the first two readings. But it is very relevant, I think, in relation to the overall scripture theme. Because I think the gospel is actually giving the apostles their prototype for creating a community of faith in his absence. And Jesus tells them, and in essence, he tells us too, do not let your hearts be troubled. The disciples have become anxious and fearful. What will they do without Jesus' physical presence? Jesus calms their fears as he speaks to them, trust in God and trust in me. My friends, this is a call to total faith in the Father and in Jesus. And I think when we look at this gospel passage as a, and if I can use this word, a prequel to the beginnings of God's Holy Church, it truly makes sense in relation to our other two scripture lessons from today's readings. A few words stuck out to me in this gospel passage. Trust in God and trust in me. What is Jesus' exhortation to trust in the Father and trust in him mean to us here today in our own lives? I think it means dealing with our daily problems. I think it means accepting and facing reality, knowing that even in worst case scenarios, God will not allow us to be crushed or lost. This is not to infer that we should not try our very best, giving our very best effort by whatever means are available to us at that point in our lives. But after we have exhausted our efforts, we have to believe, we have to have faith, we have to believe that God will take care of the rest. And then Jesus also tells his apostles, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that no one can come to the Father except through him. And so when Jesus talks about the way, what does he mean? What is the way? Well, I think of this a way as a road that we take on a trip. A way is a road that we take on a journey. Jesus is a road on the journey that we all take toward God the Father, and we take it through Jesus. And so we call Jesus the way because Jesus is the visible manifestation in human form of all that the Father is. So how does all of this come together, these scripture lessons? How does all of this come together, the gospel, the other two readings? Well, I think, you know, summing it up, simply put, very simply, Jesus knows the human mind and he knows the human heart. So before he left, at his final discourse, he gave his apostles some encouragement. He gave them some hope. He gave them faith. He gave them something to believe in. But we also know that the apostles received strength and courage by receiving the Holy Spirit on that Pentecost Sunday in the form of tongues of fire, and they received it in a most powerful way. So after that, we know they had tremendous charisma. And they carried this charisma for Christ forward. And because of their fearless proclamations and courage, they were able to develop the most powerful belief system ever known to mankind. Truly a miracle. And as we can see, sacred scripture tells us that the church had its problems. The church had its growing pains, but not unlike the church today. We have our problems today. The problems were and are basically the same. People problems. We haven't changed as human beings. Same. We have different ways of doing things, but we as human beings haven't changed. But people problems did not stop the church from growing, and it will not hamper our growth today. Why? Very simply, because our faith is a faith led by Christ, the second person in the Blessed Trinity, and is guided and is strengthened by the Holy Spirit. So I say to you, by finishing up this morning, quoting our Lord again, do not let your hearts be troubled. I am the way, the truth, and the life. May Almighty God bless you and give you strength and give you courage. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us stand to profess our faith in God. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, but with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. God has made us a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a people set apart, and so we can pray for those who are in need.
For the Holy Church, as we seek to follow Christ so that we may show the whole world the way to the Father. Let us pray to the Lord. For world leaders, that they might choose the path of peace over the ways of violence and conflict, let us pray to the Lord. For all deacons whose ministry of service dates to the earliest days of the church, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
For all our mothers on this very special day, and for our grandmothers and all who have mothered and nurtured us in very many ways, let us pray to the Lord. For those who serve in the military, that they be surrounded with the grace and protection of the Lord, let us pray to the Lord. For the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Layla Garabi, Luisa Garza, Tilly Science, Lupita T. Duran, and Jose Landa, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
Special prayer for Norma Pais and for all the prayers that we hold in the silence of our own hearts. For all of our needs, let us pray to the Lord.
O God of love, your only Son, Jesus Christ, shows us the way to you. Teach us to follow him more closely. And hear all these our prayers that we make in his name, who is our risen Lord forever and ever. Amen.
Pray, my brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. We pray, O God, who by the wonderful exchange effected in the sacrifice have made us partakers of the one supreme Godhead, grant, we pray, that as we have come to know your truth, we may make it ours by a worthy way of life. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. And let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, it is right and just that we should give you thanks and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. By the oblation of his body, he brought the sacrifices of old to fulfillment in the reality of the cross, and by committing himself to you for our salvation, showed himself the priest, the altar, the lamb of sacrifice. Therefore, overcome with paschal joy, every land, every people exalts in your praise, and even the heavenly powers with the angelic hosts sing together the unending hymn of your glory. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the font of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them, like the dewfall, so they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed, and interwoven into his passion, he took bread, and giving thanks, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. For this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice. And once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins, and do this in memory of me." The mystery of therefore, As we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you've held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we will be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. And remember, Lord, your church. Spread throughout the world. Bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis, our Pope, Michael, our Bishop, and all the clergy. And remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy, welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with the Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ.
Through him, with him, and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
At the Savior's command, and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin, safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not in our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. And the peace of the Lord be with all of you.
Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, and blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
Hello, I'm Father Han Pham, Rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.